We've been on quite the journey this summer with Jesus, Flat Jesus. So many places that Flat Jesus has been. We've heard Jesus' call to follow him. We've made excuses for why we can't do that right now. We finally accepted our mission from God. We discovered that interruptions can sometimes be opportunities to meet God. We took a much-needed rest stop at the feet of Jesus, and last week we turned the journey inward in prayer. Today Jesus gives us a warning about the stuff that we take with us on the journey of discipleship. So hear these words from Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build bigger barns. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may have noticed this morning, you can't really see it, but up here on the table, I should have given y'all a warning that I was going to move this morning, shouldn't I? There are some other things here, some dishes, some plates. Among the communion elements here today, someone was asking, were we having high tea in addition to communion today? These things were my mother's china. They're not terribly expensive, but she received them when she and my father got married in 1947. The thing about this china is that I never remember eating a meal off of it. They've spent their life either in a box or a china cabinet somewhere. Not even Thanksgiving dinner did we use the good china. And guess what? Now they're mine. I've read several articles recently aimed at baby boomers warning us that nobody wants our stuff. Right? Nobody wants our stuff. Our kids don't want our stuff. And we can't take it with us. My favorite author, my husband George, recently wrote a piece for his blog entitled "The Impermanence of What We Value." And in it he states, "I suspect that when I die and they clean up the debris I leave behind, they will discard all of my treasures." The postcard he received from John Updike, my mother's china. In our gospel reading this morning, We find a couple of brothers feuding over the family inheritance. And they want Jesus to settle the matter for them. I have refereed several funerals in my time, so I know the story. And in this story, Jesus does what Jesus does best. He doesn't get involved in their squabble over possessions, but rather he tells them a parable. A parable about a rich man who had so much stuff that he thought he had it made, that he was secure. He was self-satisfied. Oh, he was set for life. If you notice, the rich man does a lot of talking to himself in this story. When God finally has a chance to get a word in edgewise, his words are a clear wake-up call. Tonight. Tonight, you will die. And all of this stuff, all of the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? Being rich toward God means putting value on the things that God values. It means loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. It means loving mercy, acting justly, and walking humbly with your God. It means enjoying a rich spiritual life of prayer and study and fellowship with other disciples as we seek to follow Jesus and learn his ways. It means being honest with ourselves about our own hoarding of God's riches, those talents and gifts that God has given each one of us to use for his glory. It means living lives of forgiveness, asking for it when we need it, and offering it to others. It means repenting of that sin of self-sufficiency and trusting that God will provide everything we need if we will be rich toward God in the way that we live our lives. Storing up treasures is fine as far as it goes. But our real value as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is what we risk in living out our faith when we're rich toward God. As far as I can tell, as Christians, that involves some very specific tasks. Loving God and one another above all else, but also joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Living them. Not just saying we believe them, incorporating them into our daily work and into our daily play, our learning and our rest, our family and our friendships. And not because we have to. Not do this or else we'll wake up and find a condemning God who is our worst nightmare, but because we know that this is the way. This is the journey. This is how we truly discover the dream that God has for us and for the world, that the kingdom of God is right here, right now, our true life and our life's true value. These things that we hold on to, this stuff with which we hope to secure ourselves against the onslaught of finitude, they just don't work. Life, God tells us, does not consist in the abundance of possessions. There are two tables set before us this morning. And the question Jesus is asking us is this: at which of these two tables are you preparing to dine? The table set with the impermanent treasures, or the table offered by Jesus himself, who invites us to join him at an eternal banquet? As we approach this table today, as we offer up our worship and our praise and our thanks to God who redeems us and saves us, may we strive to strive. May we hope to hope more. May we commit to loving without reservation, less concerned with ourselves and more dependent on God to provide for us, to care for us, to be rich toward us in grace and in mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.